I want to talk about a couple of ideas relating to the Haggadah. Let me get my notes out. One moment. Okay, here it is. Let's go down to the bottom, my new notes. Okay. First thing is, people are asking this question. I heard this question asked a number of times. This year, everything is new. It's a new world this year because the situation is very difficult, and what we are normally accustomed to, we're not doing. So people ask the question, this year, if you're having a Seder all alone, you're not having any guests, can you say, Kol Dichvin Yesei the Yifsach? How can you say in the Haggadah, the opening words, I need a Haggadah. This Haggadah is too complicated for me. I just need a simple Haggadah. How can we say in the beginning of the Haggadah called Dichvin Yesei V'Yifsach? If no one is coming to the Seder, if you're eating the Seder all along, and in fact you don't want to invite any guests, if you don't want to invite any guests, so how then can you say the opening words of the Haggadah, anyone that is hungry, may he come and eat. Anyone that needs a Korban Pesach. Let me find the place. One second. How come I can't find anything in the Haggadah? Okay, how come? Avodim Hayinu. Kaddish, Orchatz, Karpas. Where are the words of Kol Dichvin? Here they are. Okay. Cholach ma'anya di achalu avosana bi'aradim b'sham Kol Dichvin. Anyone that is hungry, yesei v'yechol. Kol Ditzrich. Anyone that is in need, yesei v'yifsach, may come and partake of my Korban Pesach. Over here we mean v'yifsach means may partake of my Pesach Su'uda. May partake in the Afikoymen, which is a Zecher for the Korban Pesach. How this year can we say these words when everyone is in lockdown, shelter in place? You don't want any guests. In fact, you're not even allowed by the rules of the government and the Rabbanim to have anyone in your home for Pesach. You're not allowed to have anyone besides the immediate family. So some even were suggesting that you should not say these words. Chas v'shalom, that's not what it means. Just because it cannot be fulfilled in the literal sense does not mean that you should manipulate the text, the sacred text of the Haggadah, because the words are not always only meant to be taken literally. There are many deeper meaning, deeper lessons in the word, in these words. And the truth is, you can ask this question every single year, because if you want to make the announcement called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, called Dichvin Yesei V'Yifsach, it's a little too late to make that announcement when you're already sitting at the Seder and you already made Kiddush. You already made, what kind of joke is this? You already made Kiddush, you came home, you went to Shul, it's no longer Erev Yom Tov, it's not a month before Pesach, you already went to Shul, you came home, you said Halal, you made Kiddush, you're sitting around the table, all of a sudden, yeah, is there anyone out there that's hungry? Excuse me, it's a little too late to make the announcement. So what exactly is the purpose of saying these words? Anyone that is hungry, come and eat. Anyone that needs should come and participate in this this Suda, in this Pesach. And see, some in a regular year, a lot of types of insights into the Haggadah you would not even think about. Because whatever, it just doesn't occur to you. But when you're put into a corner like this year and everything is different, all of a sudden, the words of the Haggadah have very, very different meaning, extremely different meaning than they ever had. I heard yesterday, or maybe it was yesterday or the day before, someone speaking, and I'm all mixed up. There's so many different clips and lectures and articles and everything, chop a little here, chop a little there, but something that lingers, that echoes in my mind is one of the Rabbanim said that he, every year he has a very lot of pleasure in going to the Svarim store and looking and analyzing all of the new Haggadahs and maybe some of the old Haggadahs that he missed in the previous years, to look. The Haggadah Shel Pesach is probably the most popular sefer in the Jewish library. The Haggadah is used more often than not by many machabrim and many people as a text to talk about everything in life, whatever you want to talk about. I once saw a Haggadah, a Holocaust Haggadah. What is it? What does it mean, a Holocaust Haggadah? They went to the Haggadah and they darshaned, they collected ideas. Some were original, some were collected. The words of the Haggadah as a springboard to talk about many different elements, dimensions of the Holocaust. And every single line you read in the Haggadah, it strikes a chord, it brings up a memory, it reminds you of something that happened during the Holocaust, a vort, an idea, a way to relate to the Holocaust. The whole Haggadah is about the Holocaust. The text of the Haggadah is a springboard for the Holocaust. It just about every single one of the major commentators has a Haggadah. 95% of them were not even written by the author. They were written by students who want to summarize, who want to collect the major thoughts and ideas of their teacher. And the writings of their teacher are vast, are enormous. You can't go give everyone 25 volumes of the Rebbe's works. So what you do is you collect the major, major ideas and you find the part of the Haggadah which it fits into, and you use the Haggadah as the text, as the source to bring out, as a springboard to bring out the ideas of the Rebbe. This year, the Haggadah basically is the text to bring out how do we live in an environment, in a situation that we find ourselves in today, where the whole world is in a state of lockdown, shutdown, shelter in place, where the economy has plunged to a degree where we all wonder what's going to be tomorrow, where, forget about the money, all of the death and suffering has reached new levels that we've never seen before, has affected every single one of us personally. That's what the Haggadah is this year. You don't need to go this year to the store to buy a new Haggadah to gain new insight, because there are no Haggadahs that are written yet on coronavirus. Every single person, when they read the Haggadah this year, you don't need any commentators at all. Just take the text of the Haggadah, read the words, and in the words of the Haggadah, you're going to discover answers and ideas, and thoughts will come to you just by reading the Haggadah, relating to what you've seen, what you've experienced in the last few weeks. So this Ravi said, I really look forward every year going to the Svarim stores and checking out all of the new Haggadahs. But this year, first of all, there's nothing to check out because there's no Svarim store that's open. And the publishers have not even printed the new Haggadahs because there's nowhere really to sell them. Selling online is not convenient for most people. The mail now is very slow. The deliveries are very, very slow. Who says they'll even get it on time? So all the publishers have shut down. They've shut down. Their staff also is not coming in. There are no new Haggadahs. The only Haggadahs you have is what you have in the house from last year, which, believe me, for many people, that's more than you can possibly read in many lifetimes. But yet, you don't need that either. All you need this year, he said, is to read the words. And it's a given that so much has happened these last couple of weeks the thoughts and the insights that will come to your mind, will flood your mind. Parents who are making the Seder this time for the first time, Baruch Hashem, where they're actually going to have to work on doing what they're really supposed to do every single year, not rely upon their parents and their grandparents, but to actually sit home with their immediate family and be mekayim the mitzvah, v'igata levincha b'yom ha'leimar, just read the Haggadah. You're going to see your whole life in the Haggadah, every single event, every single thing that affects you will come out in the words of Haggadah, and it's so true. And in light of that, when you look at Kol Dichvin Yesev Yeh, Kol Ditzvach Yesev Yivsach, who are you sitting saying this year to? You're saying this to your immediate family. You're not saying this to your long-lost cousin you haven't seen in 50 years, and this couple and that couple, and you're in a hotel sitting together with people you've never seen before, or some acquaintances that happen to be there. You're saying these words in the vicinity of your most immediate family. And it strikes a very powerful chord in many people, including myself, is basically you can summarize every single, all the nonsense that's coming out of my mouth now with a few words. Charity starts at home. I repeat those words. Charity starts at home. When you're sitting around the table, and you're looking at the people there. Sometimes parents, they have hasagas. Oh, this kid, I'm going to send them off to Israel. This seminary, that seminary. This, that. All these wild, grand plans. Did you ever think, maybe the kid sitting in front of you, he's just hungry? Instead of, talking and pontificating and telling him all your great ideas, the kid's hungry. Give him something to eat. Kol Dichvin, anyone here at this table that I'm sitting with you right here, if you're hungry, Yesi V'Yechol. Maybe we should read the Haggadah very quickly so we can get up to Shulchan Aruch. You're all very tired. And after we finish Shulchan Aruch, then we can talk the whole night. Be normal. Be practical. Is there anyone here that instead of sending your kid out on some chesed mission, or instead of him, just focus on the basics. What do you need? You need new clothing. You need some love. You need some mussar. Instead of focusing on the abstractions and on the glitter and on what your neighbors have and what society values, look around your table. There are no guests this year. There's no one from the neighborhood, no guy in shul sitting on a bench that you've never seen before, no neighbors, nothing. Just your immediate family, and say to them, are you hungry? Are you eating? Did you eat lunch? Did you eat breakfast? Did you eat supper? Is everything okay? You have enough money to live? Is everything okay in your life? Focus on the basics. You people around my table, you children who I've given birth to, call Dichvin. If you're hungry, come. Yesei v'yechol. Let me put some food in your stomach. Forget about all the religion.
Who are you talking to?
Larry, can you please mute your phone?
I'll mute it. Call Dietrich. Okay, anyone that is in need, do you need something? Kol Ditzrich, Yesei, V'Yivsach, come. I will provide your needs. Basic needs. Charity starts at home. This insight only came to me. It's a simple insight. Maybe it doesn't even make sense. Only because, look, who are you saying, who are you saying this to? You're saying this to nobody but yourself. Okay, let's go now to the next thing. Next idea in relation to what we experience. We have the Arba Bonim, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'ena Yoideya Lishal. The Arba Bonim are in order. Just like everything in the Seder is in a Seder. There's an order to everything in the Seder. And one of the things that it's Seder is the Arbo HaBonim. First comes the Chacham, then comes the Rasha, then comes the Tam, and then comes the She'eino Yodei Alishol. Okay, what's the significance of the Seder? So I'm telling you an idea that is a popular idea, that the Arbo HaBonim are not necessarily four different children. And the Arba Bonim are not necessarily your children. Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. We are all Bonim of Hashem. And in different stages of our life, we behave differently. We all can look at back at a point in our life where we can say, oh, that was a time in my life when I was a Chochem. I was a wise man. I did the right thing. I asked the right questions. I behaved. A Chacham is, by the way, not necessarily a tzaddik. Not necessarily the same thing. But there's a Chacham. A Chacham means you know what to ask. You ask the right question. You get the right answer. You're studious. You're a good student. And you're striving to improve your intelligence. And then there's the wicked son. We can look back in our life and we can say that was a moment of time when we were not with the program. We were wicked. To a degree, we said, "Mo ha'avoda hazayis lochem." And then there is a stage in our lives when we were tam, we were tam, just ignorant, naive, simple. And then there was a stage where we were clueless. She'eino yodei alishol. It's all the same person. It's all the same person. It's just a matter of. It's just different images of ourselves. Every person is zoche to live a full life, lived really many lives. You look back 10 years ago. 10 years ago, that was a different world, a different life. I was in a different community, a different environment. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, it was ki'ilu, I was a Gilgal. My existence today in relation to my life 40 years ago is no different than when you read in these midrashim about a person, he died, and then he a Gilgal neshamos, he had a reincarnation. I think we all can relate to that. The differences in our life between, go back 30, 40 years ago versus today is like so different. Such a different world. Our environment, our teachers, our surroundings were so completely different than it is today. We can literally say it was a different Gilgal. We lived in a different Gilgal. So the Chazal said that a neshama has four cannot have more than four Gilgulim. You can come back to this world four times. You can probably divide up your life into four different tekufais and look at that as being four Gilgulim in your own lifetime. In any event, the Chacham, the Rosh, the Tam, and the She'in Yodei Lishol really is one person. And it's written in a very precise order. Chacham, Rosh, Tam, She'in Yodei Lishol. And I'm following the news these last few weeks. I really feel that is what society has gone through in these last couple of weeks in relation to the virus. When it first hit, when the first people started taking it seriously, that you know, we got a problem. This is a real problem here. We were all chachomim. Chachomim, we knew everything. We read up all the latest research and we knew exactly what to do, how to beat it, who's affected, who's not going to be affected, how to protect yourself. We were all groise chachomim. The government were chachomim. We were chachomim. We all knew exactly, we thought, we were all perfectly prepared how to deal with this in the most responsible way possible. And then guess what? It didn't exactly work out the way we thought. And then there was a lot of guilt, a lot of blaming, a lot of, you see, if there wouldn't have been a Purim Mesibah, if you wouldn't have brought him Shalach Manos, if you wouldn't have gone to Shul on Shabbos, this wouldn't have happened. And many of us feel very guilty. And we feel like we're Rishoyim. We were guilty. We didn't warn people enough. We didn't behave correctly. We should have taken it more seriously. we should have known this, we should have known that. This one's guilty, that one's guilty, we're guilty, we're all guilty. There's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of recognition that we were wrong. We were evil. We acted cruelly. And then we come to the state where that passes. We become like the Tan. Everyone says, I don't know. I don't know. All of a sudden, no one knows anything. All of a sudden, the doctors say, I don't know why in this country does it spread like this. And in this country, and this one proposes this theory, and this one has this theory, and wear a mask. First they tell you, don't wear a mask. Then they tell you, wear a mask. Then they tell you social distancing. Then they tell you isolation, going in this. I mean, every day the rules are changing literally by the hour. And if you have an intelligent question, I guarantee you there is no answer to that question. No one knows anything. And then we're coming now into a state of she'enoy yoidea lishol. We're so confused, we don't even know what to ask. We're at a state where, okay, you know what? Don't even ask the question. First, we're asking good questions. You listen to the briefing, the briefings of the governor and the president. That's an excellent question. Ask a question, excellent question, and we don't know. We don't know. We don't have an answer. Once you get the disease, does that mean now that you're immune? What's going to be in the fall? Is there going to be another strain? How long? It's an excellent question, and this is what. This the answer? Well, maybe they give you an answer. They don't give an answer. We don't know the answer. And it turns out now all of the answers they've given are nonsense. Well, many of them are nonsense. So you know now the fact that they've given us such pathetic answers and the answer have been proven to be shown not 100% correct, we don't even bother answering questions. Because we know that whatever they're going to tell us, they themselves don't have an answer to. They've been proven to be wrong. Their answers are wrong. So look what has happened in the last 3 weeks. It's mamish. The cycle is it's uncanny. It's unbelievable. We all started out chachamim, yoidim eskol haTorah. We know everything. We know the ganze Torah. We know all the rules. And then when we saw that we were all wrong, very, very severely, with major, major consequences of death, we all entered into a matzav of rishon. We're guilty. We should have taken it a lot more seriously. We should have been a lot better prepared. They're coming out of the news now. All, you know, the blame. They should have had the ventilators. They had months to get the ventilators and this and that. And time, precious time, was wasted. Truth is, it's not true. I don't think it's true. Everyone did, you know, that's the way it is. The evidence was not present. When there's no evidence, there was not at the time hard evidence. All right, it is what it is, but there's definitely a blame game. The blame game is an element of the Rasha Mahu Oimer. And then comes the state of the Tam. The Tam is naive. He asks questions, the Tam. Mazois. Tell me, Nunu, what's going on here? What do we do now? Explain to me the situation. And now when we see that no one has any answers to the question of Mazois, what has resulted? The result is She'eino Yoidea Lishol. We really don't know what to say. We don't even know what to ask. Because we know that they don't have what to answer. So we just go from one day to the next and wait patiently for a salvation. Isn't this, I find this cycle to be very, very real. And the only reason why you have an appreciation to the Seder of the Dalet Banim is because of the environment, is because of the situation that we find ourselves to be in at this time. It's all the same person. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, the She'ena Yudei Alishol, it's all one person. And the truth is, in life, we, in our Hakara, our recognition that there is a creator, we go through this cycle. We go through this cycle thinking that we are in control, we are chachomim. And then when we realize, when we see that we've been all wrong, guilt self sets in. And then we begin to ask questions. And then at the end, we reach, I really believe, the She'eino Yodea Lishol. It looks to us as the Nebuch of the Haggadah. The truth is, the She'eino Yodea Lishol is the highest Madrega. He is the Tzaddik. He is the Maimon. Instead of looking at the Seder, the Dalabanim, as four children who are very intriguing, each one has a very unique personality. Each one is a specimen for a psychologist. No, the four people, the four Bonim is the same person. It's one person. It's one person who evolves throughout life in his relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Person starts out, I got it all figured out. My life is perfect. I know exactly what school I'm going to go to, what graduate school, what kind of job, what kind of wife, what kind of life, what way I'm going to send my, what kind of children. I know exactly how many children I'm going to have. I know exactly what kind of clothing they're going to wear. And I know what schools I'm going to send them to. And I know what kind of spouses they're going to have. And the grandchildren, he got everything plotted, figured out perfectly. And then what happens is, it does not go according to your plans. And then you begin to blame yourself. If only I would have done this, I would have done that. Oh, then I would not be in this matzav. And then you stop blaming yourself. You only can blame yourself for that long. You know, you get bored. It gets boring to blame yourself the whole day. And then you come to a new madrega where you just have complaints against Hashem. Okay, that's the next madrega in life. After you finish blaming yourself, you say, Hashem, it's your fault. It's your fault. You're the one who brought this upon me. Mazois. Mazois, tata maho oimer. And then you see, it doesn't work. Blaming Hashem and asking Hashem questions doesn't work either. And the end is, you accept. You mekabel. You mekabel that there's a creator, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, he put you in this world, he has a purpose, and we are maminim, b'nei maminim, we do our hishtadlus, we do everything we possibly can in a responsible way, under the guidance of people who have been there and done that, who can teach us something about life. And after everything is said and done, the Yad Hashem guides and directs every person, and we are mekabel, and we become the highest level of creation, the level of the She'enoi Yodea Lishol. There's nothing to ask. There's nothing to challenge. There's nothing to say. It's an acknowledgement that we are servants of Hashem. We do what Hashem wants from us, and we are maminim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the being who guides us and is protecting us. And everything that he does is for our ultimate benefit. Kol ma da'os da'ovid rachmano letav ovid. Okay, let's go to another example in this slide. Now, this Vart, I probably told this to you a long time ago. And I tried to tell this Vart to people in the past. Most of the time when I tell this Vart, I tell this Vart to someone in the past, they don't react, they don't respond. They don't really connect with this Vart. But I really feel that this Vart that I'm about to tell you has never, ever been more relevant in our lives than ever, especially at the time of the Lel Seder. It's a simple Vart. I probably told it to you. I don't remember. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And the Vart is in Birkas HaMazon. The root of the Vart is in Birkas HaMazon. After we finish benching, we recite seven Harachamons are recited when we finish benching. Here, let me go to Birkas HaMazon. seven harachamans. If I would take the seven harachamans, I would slice them out of the siddur and put them on the table, spread them out on the table, the seven harachamans, and I would ask all of you, it would be a wonderful game to play. If I was a teacher in an elementary school, even in a high school, even over here, and I would take the seven harachamans, give you cards, I'll put the seven harachamans on seven cards, and I will ask all of you to arrange them in a logical order. Seven cards, each one has one of the seven harachamans. I guarantee there is no one here in this virtual meeting room that would arrange them in the order that you find them arranged in the bencher. I guarantee. Let me read the harachamans. Number one, harachaman hu yimloi choleinu liyolam voed. May you rule upon us. May you be our king. All right, that's very nice. Harachaman hu yisbarach, may you be praised v'ashamayim v'aretz. Number three, harachaman hu yishtabach ledorda, may you be praised for all generations. V'yisbo'ar banu lo'ad ulenetzach nitzachim, and may you be glorified through us, Hashem, for eternity. V'yishadar banu, and may you be beautified through us, lo'ad ule'olmei olamim. Very nice. The first three harachamans pretty much are very similar, and they're asking that Hashem, you should be our king, you Hashem should be praised, and may Hashem, may we be your servants. Our order is pretty good. Okay, I think we'll give Chazal, we'll give them an A so far. May you be our king, and may you be praised, may you be a good king, and may we be good servants. Then we get personal, and we say, but after we've been so kind, and we've made you the king, and we've prayed that, and we've praised you as the king, and we pray that we be good servants, we need a parnasa. We need to put that food on the table. Can you please do us some favors? Okay. Harachamon hu yifarneseinu b'chavoid, support us. Harachamon hu yishbar uleinu me'al tzavareinu, may you break the yoke of the goyim, our enemies, from upon our necks. V'hu yoylichenu, and may he guide us, koimimius, upright, liaretzenu to Eretz Yisrael. So far, these next two rachmans discuss, we need parnasa, and we need you, Hashem, to save us from our enemies, the yoke of the old Malchus HaGoyim. And then we come to the next one, number six, harachamon hu yishlach lanu bracha meruba babayis hazeh v'al shulchan zeh shochalnu olav. May you bring blessing, a great blessing to this bayis and to this table, which we have eaten upon. May you grant great blessing to this bayis and to this table. Bring blessing right here in the four walls of this room. And then the last harachman, hu yishlach lanu, harachman, hu yishlach lanu, es Eliyahu hanavi zachor latovi vaser lanu, besoirois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nechamois. Ribbono shel olam, we have a lot of tzaris out there. Send us some good news. Let us hear good news. Besoirois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nechamois. So, again, if you take all of these harachamans and put them on seven cards, I'm willing to bet that most of us would take the harachamon number six that says, harachamon hu yishlach lanu birocha miruba babayis hazeh v'al shulchan zeh shochalnu olav, and put it either at the very, very end, or maybe put it before we ask Hashem for parnasa. It's a very personal blessing. Send us blessing on this table. Where is it put in the order that we have? Where is it put? It's put before. It's sandwiched between. Ribbono shel olam, the goyim are killing us. They're trying to kill us. I walk out in the street, there's a guy that has a gun and wants to kill me. They're trying to kill us. And the last harachamon is, forget about what's going on outside, there are germs inside of me that are trying to kill me. There's a virus inside of me. I need to hear b'soyrois, toivois, yeshuas, v'nechamois. Let's hear some good news already, that it's over. All of our problems are over. We have a lot of tsaros, a lot of difficulties in life. And in the middle of these two blessings, harachamon yishlach lanu b'rocha miruba, babayis hazeh v'al shulchan zeh shulchal nolav. Now it's amazing, before this virus broke out, what was the last episode in Jewish history before the virus broke out? I don't know if it was anti-Semitism. Right before the virus broke out, there was a whole collection of events of violence in this neighborhood, and at least two shuls that I know of that never had locks on the door install locks, combination locks. Right before this whole thing broke out, there was a panic that went out in the neighborhood already. In most places already put on locks. You know, most places that I go to already 2 years ago, they already put on combination locks. But there were two specific shuls that I daven in, and the same Friday night, oh, they have a new lock. You can't get into the building unless you know the combination. New thing. Everyone has to know. They sent out texts. Everyone should know the combination. Mr. Plotnik, you're still there. Another thing to memorize. If I had a dime for every combination lock I had to memorize, I would be a very rich man. But the problem is, I don't have a dime for each combination lock, and I can't remember the combinations, and that's why I'm always locked out. Okay, so the day before this whole virus broke out, we were worried about Harachamon, who yishbar uleinu me'al tzavarein, who yolichenu kamamios le'artzenu, may you break the yoke of the malchus of the guy upon our neck, and we should go to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it's time to go to Yerushalayim, to our homeland, and be safe from our enemies. We won't have to be worried about anti-Semitism. We can live in our own land. All right. And then what's the end bracha? The end bracha, the last harachamon is, b'soyrois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nechamos. That's the nusach you say when a person is going through a crisis. When you're going through a crisis of corona, and rachmana l'slan, someone in your family is in the hospital, and you're worried about what's going to be tomorrow, then you say, b'soyrois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nechamos. So wouldn't it be logical to group those two things together? And to take the bakasha, Hashem, you give us good parnasa, put it together with harachamon, hu yifarnesenu b'chavayt. I need good parnasa, and I want to put that on the table, bracha, blessing. And to take the two harachamons that talk about our tzaris from without, and the tzaris from within, those two should be grouped together. Why are we taking the harachamon of who yishlach lanu b'rocha meruba b'bayis azeh, and do we stick it right in the middle? And you know what the answer is? This is the lesson for the Haggadah. This is the most important lesson for the Haggadah. The Haggadah is the time of who yishlach lanu b'rocha meruba b'bayis azeh. You're sitting around with your family in this bayis. This is your home. This is where you come from. This is where you were raised. This is your bayis. And the message to your children and to yourself is, outside of the walls of this bias, there's a churban. The world is on fire. Outside of this bias, there is the oil malchus, the oil shibud malchus. Don't forget, we are in Golis. Don't forget, they hate us. Anti-Semitism hasn't gone anywhere. They've gone into quarantine only for a few minutes, only for their own benefit, so they can come back and fight us, Rachmana Litzlan, Chas V'Shalom, against us more later. And all over the world, the news is not pretty. Harachman, who you send Eliyahu Hanavi, Zochur Latavi Vaser Lanu B'Soros Tavos Yeshuas V'Nechamos. But you know something? Even though logic would tell you that if the world is on fire, and the world is coming to an end, just give up. Forget it. Who cares? Seder? Who needs a Seder? Go to sleep. Who's interested in having a seder Lel Pesach? Go to sleep. This anti-Semitism, the goyim are trying to kill us. And if they don't kill us, we're going to suffer from coronavirus. We'll kill ourselves because by talking to social media, social contact brings death also. So manav shach, the world's coming to an end. Seder. Who's interested in having a seder? The world is over. Along came the Chachamim who composed the Harachamans, and they taught us an incredible, incredible insight, incredible chizuk. And they said to us, it may be true that the world is coming to an end. The world is on fire. The world doesn't know where it's going. So what? In the middle, smack in the middle of an environment of chaos with a capital C, in the middle, harachamon, you sit at your dining room table with your family and children and you say, harachamon, hu yishlach lanu birocha miruba babayis hazeh. The al shulchan zeh shochalnu olav. Despite the fact that the entire world is surrounded on both sides with chaos, it doesn't matter. When it comes Pesach and you close the door and you sit at the table with your family, horachamon, hu yishlach lanu birocha miruba babayis hazeh. It doesn't make a difference what's happening out there in the world. The main thing is, there should be bracha here. And you can bet your bottom buck, your bottom dollar, that when you will succeed in bringing the bracha, babayis hazeh v'al shulchan zeh shochalnu olav, that bracha will be so contagious, it's no match for coronavirus. It will spread. The bracha will spread throughout the entire world. That is why it is centered right here in between these two expressions. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have a few minutes. We say in the Haggadah, this is not a complete idea. This is the thought which needs to be developed. And I want to present you the thought, the idea. We need some mumchim, like Rabbi Mayevsky, a seasoned, experienced Rav, a think tank, to bring out the idea. But the idea is, this is the idea. What is the main component of the Haggadah? The main component. The psukim of Arami Oyved Ovi. That's what the whole Haggadah is all about. V'gat levincha v'yomu le'emom avuza asa Hashem li b'tzeisim mitzrayim. And what a chazal, so you have to relate to your children the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And chazal, they could have done anything they wanted when they composed, formulated a nusach for us. Who's the Baal Haggadah? They say the legend is Eliyahu Hanavi composed the Haggadah. It was his words. Starting with Manishtana through the beginning of Hallel. He's the one who composed the Haggadah. There are exactly 1,820 words in the Haggadah. Now, I know you have different nuschos. In fact, I have over here probably the best work, this Haggadah, came out a couple of years ago. It's called the Masifta Haggadah, Oiz V'Hadar. I don't think there's anyone that did the research they did, where they have the Shinin Nuschois. They have over here in the back. They got their hands on every Haggadah in the world they can come up with. This is not real. I mean the price. I don't know what I paid for this. They charge for this, whatever you charge for Haggadah. Just these last one, two, three, however, last few pages is worth probably 10 times more than the whole Haggadah, where they went and they took basically every Haggadah they can find, and they show you the different nuschois, the shinu nuschois that they found, that they discovered in all of the Haggadahs, to compare one to the other. But in any event, supposedly Eliyahu HaNavi, he composed the Haggadah. It's exactly 1,820 words. If you change the girsa here, you're going to have to change the girsa somewhere else to make sure you match up with those words. Those, by the way, it says over every year, those words, where else do you have exactly those numbers? 1,820. It's a triya. It's a chut ha-mishulash. It's the same exact number of words as the nusach of Rosh Hashanah. The nusach of Rosh Hashanah, the musaf of Rosh Hashanah. It was talking of the chen tein pachtecha, malchiyos, zichroinos, and shayfros. If you count the words in the nusach of musaf Rosh Hashanah, it's supposed to come out to 1,820. Certainly there are different shinu nuschos, but you have to play with it to make it work out exactly 1,820. And where and what's the third place? The third is the Ikar Shebikarim, the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, appears in Tanakh exactly 1,820 times. So there are three things that are exactly 1,820. Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, because I think there are a few more times where we pronounce it Hashem, but it doesn't have the letters Yud Hei Vav Hei. And then the Haggadah, Shal Pesach, and the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. All of them are 1,820. Okay, that's not the point. The point over here is Eliyahu HaNavi was obviously written Baruch HaKodesh, and Eliyahu HaNavi selected to that we recite primarily the Pesukim of Arami Oyved Avi, Jewish history. Arami, who is the Arami who wanted to destroy my father? There are only about 10 Perushim as to who the Arami is. Rashi in Chumash writes, it is Lavan Ho Arami. That's one of about 10 Perushim of who is the Arami, who is the Avi. Is the Avi Yaakov? Who is the Arami who wanted to destroy the Avi? We are all taught as children, as we should be, that the Arami is Lavan. He tried to destroy Yaakov. Where do we find that Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov? That's not another discussion. That's not for now. But in these psukim, we darshan, we take a pasuk, and we say a few words, and then we darshan it. Another few words, we darshan it. And the process of using these words, it is a springboard to describe, to discuss Jewish history, to discuss, to fulfill the mitzvah of Gat Levincha Bayamahu Leimar. Where else do the words of Arami Oyved Avi appear prominently? And the answer is the Yom Tif of Shavuos. When the farmer brings Bikurim, Uviyoim HaBikurim, the day when they begin to bring Bikurim, the first fruits are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, are brought to the farmer. What does the farmer do? He puts the new fruits in the basket. He waves the basket with the coin. He puts them on the ground. And he begins, Arami Oyved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma Lagur Sham. The psukim of Bikurim, that's where it comes from. That's where the Haggadah comes from. So what am I trying to say? The centerpiece of the Seder are the Psukim of Arami Oyved Avi. The centerpiece of the Yom Tov of Shavuos is the Bikurim. How do I know that? Because the Yom Tov of Shavuos is called Uvi Yom HaBikurim. What do you do on Shavuos? It's now the time when you bring the first fruits. And what do you say when you bring the first fruits? Sorry? And what do you say when you bring the first fruits? What do you say? You say, Arami Oyved Avi. Wait a minute. Wouldn't it have been more clever to have something a little different for Pesach? If you're going to say the psukim of Arami Oved Avi for Bikurim, you know, no one likes to watch reruns. You always want something new and fresh. I heard yesterday one of the Darshanim, he was saying, the event that I participated, there was a lot of music. Not like slow melodies. Slow melodies to like mourning melodies almost. Slow melodies. And one of the musicians, he said, then they had a darshan, someone spoke, and he said in his drasha, it's not fair. The musicians here, they get to sing the same songs again and again. They sang V'hi She'omda, they sang Achenu, they sang the beautiful classic songs. These are all old songs that resonate with every living creature, every Orthodox Jew. But when I get up to speak, I can't tell you an old vart. If I tell you the vart that I said last year, you won't ask me to come back and ever speak again, because they want to hear something new, something fresh. Why is that so? Why is it when it comes to music, everyone likes to listen to the old nigunim? But when it comes to chidushim in Torah, you gotta say something new. I remember I was once a guest, Shabbos afternoon, and they were very choshev people were sitting at the table, and the hostess of the balas habayis, she literally gave a clap on the table, and she said to everyone there, okay, now I'm going to ask everyone here to tell us a vart that we never heard before. We want to hear something new, a vart that we never heard before. Excuse me, how come when you sang the Zemirois, it's the same old Zemirois? Okay, we've all heard these Zemirois before. We've heard the melodies before. We've heard the Zemirois before. How come only when it comes to Torah, you have to say new chidushim? When it comes to music, you can sing the old songs. My question to you is, why did Chazal, Eliyahu HaNavi, who composed the Haggadah, what is he telling us? An old vart. He's telling us an old vart. Arami Oved Avi. That is designated for Bikurim. Uviyoyim HaBikurim. For what we say on Shavuos. Pesach should be the Zman when we say something new. Something fresh. Why are you repeating? What is this scarcity of Torah? There may be a scarcity of masks. I have masks. Someone gave me on Friday 2 masks. Anyone want an extra mask? there may be a scarcity of other things in this world, but there's no scarcity of chidushim of Torah. Why did Eliyahu HaNavi have to pick the same exact pesukim that we're going to say for Bikurim? You know what the answer is? The answer is the question. The answer is exactly the point. Eliyahu HaNavi is the ultimate psychologist. He wants us bedafka to say the same exact words when you're sitting in front of your dining room table with your children as what you're going to say when you stand before the Mizbeach. What does the Pasuk say about the Mizbeach? Ze HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. In Yechezkel, the Pasuk says that the Mizbeach is the Shulchan. Not the Shulchan of the Lechem upon him. The Mizbeach. Ze HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. This is the Shulchan that is before Hashem. And all of the Darshanim explain this to mean that the Shulchan we offer korbanos, it's Ki'ilu Hashem is eating. When you pour the Nesachim, it's Ki'ilu Hashem is drinking. And there's so much metaphors in the Machshava and the Drush, and we go backwards that when you're sitting at your dining room table and you're eating, it's as if you're offering a sacrifice. You're bringing korbanos, and when you bring poor people to the table, it's like you're offering menachos. You're doing all of these things. We make a very powerful connection between the Shulchan, our dining room table, and the Mizbech of Hashem. Ze HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, if that is the case, that indeed the Shulchan, your own personal Shulchan, is the same thing as the Mizbeach, that's right. It is appropriate that you should recite upon this dining room table the same exact words that every single person, every farmer who's in the agricultural society would recite in front of the Mizbeach. Arami oyveravi, vayered mitzrayim vayogosham b'msei ma'at, vayisham l'goy gadol otzum v'rav, and all the drush and the machshav. Why? Because when you come to the shulchan and you say those words, it was the intent of Eliyahu HaNavi that your mind at that moment in time should be flooded, flashback, with the memory of your children, your grandchildren, your family at the Pesach Seder. Bring the Pesach Seder to the Mizbeach. When you're going and you're going to sit at your table and you're going to have this experience, your mind is going to open up with an experience. The words, when you say, Arami Avi Ravi, you're going to remember what your three-year-old told you, what your three-year-old grandson told you. You're going to remember the melodies, how they sang these psukim. And you're going to absorb the nachas. And when you then come to the Mizbeach and put down the first fruits, and you say to Hashem, as Rashi says, She'enecho kofui toiva. You're not a kofui toiva for all the chasadim. You're going to take the nachas of the Pesach Seder and you're going to bring it to the Mizbeach. It's going to be the same words. The same words are going to force you to reflect upon the experience. And it's going to play with your mind. I said those words by my dining room table. I'm saying these words at the Mizbeach. It's going to shake you up. Wait a minute, what's the connection? Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem. Maybe I should take some of the Kedusha that I experience before the Eish of the Mizbeach and bring it home to my dining room table and share it there as well. And what I take it from the dining room, bring it to the Mizbeach. I should make my home into a Mikdash Me'at. Eliyahu HaNavi is a brilliant psychologist. A brilliant psychologist. He took the 1,820 words, the exact same, and he selected the centerpiece of these words, to link the two together. And Chazal, and also we have to remember, what was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? The entire purpose is b'yitziach es ami Mitzrayim, ta'avdun es ho'elokim al-hor hazeh. The tafkid is Kabbalah Satoira. Hashem says to Moshe, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not to go on vacation to Hawaii in the Caribbeans. The purpose is to go to Har Sinai to be mekabel the Torah. Uviyom habikur mishavuos is yom matan Torah seinu. The words have to be the same. They have to be the centerpiece because there has to be the link. That connection must be there in order to achieve the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They all come together in this way. Here, Abayisai, we're out of time. Before we go, I want to say Tehillim. We have two people in our own share. Abayisai, there are three people in our share that are not 100%. Mr. Cohn, are you here? Are you listening, Mr. Cohn? Mr. Cohn, Baruch Hashem, he's recovering very well. And you should be 100% healed. Mr. Lederfield, Eliezer Lederfield, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think it's Lederfield, Fend maybe. He is, Baruch Hashem, recovering. And Mr. Rappaport, Aaron Rappaport, he's having a more difficult time. It's a slower healing process. Dr. Phil Friedman's son, last we've heard, is in the hospital on a respirator. I hope by now he's doing better. I do not know. And Mr. Bloom's wife is in the hospital. So we have our share amongst us. Not to mention, probably every single person, unfortunately, knows a lot. what's going on in their own life, in their own family, their own friends. So we're going to say now to Ms. Morim. So I'm going to, Mr. Plotnick, I'm going to give you time as you wanted. Everyone can take out a Tehillim. Usually in the back of every Siddur, there is a Tehillim. We're going to say Mizmar Kuf Chof Aleph. Okay, I'll give you a minute to get a Siddur. Mr. Plotnick, you tell me when you're ready. Mizmar Kuf Chof Aleph. Mr. Plotnick, you still here? Okay, Mizmar Kuf Kuf Aleph Shulam Alois Esoy Naya Laharim Ayin Yavo Yezri Ezri Meim Adonai Oisei Shem Ayim Vaoretz Al Yitin Lamoid Raglecha Al Yenum Shemrecha Hinei Lo Yenum Lo Yishon Shemer Yisrael Adonai Shemrecha Adonai Tzilchol Yad Yiminecha Yoyim Hashemesh Lo Yakeka Virech Baloyla Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ro Yishmores Nafshecha Adonai Yishmor Tzeischa Uvayecha Me'ata V'ad Olam. Okay, we're going to say Kuf Lamed. Kuf Lamed. Shir Hamalois Mimamakim Kirosicha Adonai Adonai Shema V'Koyli Tiyena Oznecha Kashuvois L'Kol Tachanonai Imavoinois Tishmorya Adonai mi amor ki imcho haslicho leman tivarei kivisi Adonai kivus anafshi v'lidvero v'roi honcholti nafshi l'Adonai mishayvim l'boiker shayvim l'boiker yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbei imoi fedus v'hu yifte es Yisrael mikol avoyrosof. Let's say one more. Let's say maskil David. Maskil David is kuf mem beis 142. Maskil David, Vyosai Vamaros Sefila, Koili El Adonai Ezok, Koili El Adonai Eschanan, Eshbech Lefanav Sichit, Sarasil Lefanav Agid, Besatef Alai Ruchi, Vyato Yodatan Sivasi, Beirach Zualich Tamu Fachli, Habe Yodmin Re'e Veli Makir, Avad Menos Mimeni Ein Beresh Nafshi, Zoakti Elecho Adonai Amarti Ato Machsi Chalki Bieret Sachayim, Hakshiva El Vinasi Ki Daloisi Mioid Hatsileni Meirotfoy Ki Omsu Mimeni, Haitzia Mimasker Nafshi Loidos Eshemecha Bi Yachtir Tzadikim Ki Sigmol Oloi. I'll make a Mishaberach. I'll pause in the middle. You can add any name. If you want, you can also say a Mishaberach. The Mishaberach usually appears In Shachris, Kriya Satoira. After Kriya Satoira, there's a Mishaberach for a Chayla. I'll say that if you can answer Amen, we're live, so you can answer Amen. And if you want, you can add any name you want inside. You can say your own Mishaberach. Mishaberach Avaseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirapei Es HaChaylam. V'chol chole Yisrael bavur shanachnu yitain tztaka bavuram uvavur shanachnu mispalulim bavuram bischarze HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimole rachamim aleihem lehachalimam ulerapoisam ulehachazikam ulehachayoisam v'yishlach lehem mehera refua shleva min hashamayim lerimach evarehem ushesa gideihem Besoch Shor Chole Yisrael Refuas HaNefesh Refuas HaGuf Hashto Ba'agolo V'zman Karil V'noimar Amen. Rabbi, now I want to say one more. I want to do this minig that I saw a Rav do, and I thought was very powerful. That when we complain to Hashem of all our tzaras, we have to be very thankful to Hashem for all of the good things that He's given us. It could have been a lot, lot worse. And there's a lot to be thankful for. There are billions of people out there that have infinitely less than we do. So while we complain to Hashem of our tzaris, we have to be thankful. So I'm going to say the Mizmor L'Soida. Mizmor L'Soida, Hariu L'Adonai Kol Aretz, Ivdu Es Adonai B'Simcha Bo L'Fon of Birnana, Du'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim Hu Asan V'Lo Yanachnu, Amoy V'Tzad Marisoi, Bo She'orav B'Soida, Chatzeroisa B'Sila, Hoiduloi, Baruch Hu Shemo, Kitoiv, Adonai, Liolam Chastov, V'Ador, V'Ador, Emun Asai. Have a wonderful day. Be well, be gesund. Please stay safe. Follow all the rules. Don't touch your mouth, your nose, your eyes. It's very dangerous to touch those parts of the body. Wash your hands. stay indoors, be careful, be mispalel, do mitzvahs, usashuva, usafila, utsadaka, ma'avir, nesroya hagezera. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Levine. Thank you.
Be well, be well.
Rabbi Levine, this is Phil Friedman.
Yes, how is it? Yes.
Yeah, so while you were making the Shemerach, my son called me and he said, I have good news. They might be taking me out of the ICU.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Hoidu la Hashem kitoiv. Baruch Hashem.
He's, you know, still a shmata. He's weak. He can hardly talk. But, you know, he's improving.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Chaste Hashem ki lo samu.
Today's the yahrzeit of Rav Shimshon Pinkas. The two numbers I sent are overloaded with deliveries, so you really can't use them. If you need any fruit or vegetables, I will be going tomorrow morning to local key food. Give me a list. I'll pick it up. I don't know how I'll get it to you, but at least you'll have the...
Yashukoyach Meir. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day. Be well.
not act soon, we will label you ineligible for these benefits. To speak to a local specialist or to learn more about these benefits, please press 1. To be removed from the call list, please press 9.
Morning, Rabbi Levine Shlita. There's a letter in the Igeres. I don't know where I would find it. You know where to find it for me. That Rabbi Akiva Egel wrote to another Rav. I can get you the Rav's name. And it was in the year, I believe, 1836, when they had the cholera virus. And he writes that you should make minyanim spread out. He writes also you should say keteris. But he says clearly there that you should make minyanim that are spread out 15 people apart. Do you know where that letter is and how I can find it? Thank you.
Gracias.